Father, we do thank you for this time. And just, Lord, we ask your blessings. And Lord, and this is a difficult subject to teach. And so, Lord, even more than usual, I ask for your wisdom, your guidance. I ask you to open the eyes of each of our hearts, that we might learn from you, we might see the truth that you have in your word. And just, and Lord, let us see below the surface. Let us see what you really have for each one of us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. As I read this, please don't tune out. Okay? Stay with me, because I believe you'll see that it has some great depth to it. Not only is it important as you go into your life to learn the lessons that are here, but already in your life, you need to look at some of the lessons that are here. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better that one of the parts of your body perish than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, then cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you that one of your parts of your body perish than that your whole body go into hell. Now at first it seems like they're almost unrelated, they're related in the way, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then he's talking about lusting, and then he's talking about, well, if your eye causes you to stumble, or if your hand causes you to stumble. Now first, I want to look at from its base value, which is, sadly, I'm a perfect example of how having adultery, allowing adultery to come into your life, can cause such great harm. And I sadly confess it, and that has been true in my life. It's caused more than one divorce in my life. And it's caused a lot of the pain some of us in this room feel. The guilt before God, in the sense of going to hell for it, has been taken care of. The circumstances and the consequences that continue to follow through life, they'll never go away. They're there. And you pay for them until the day you die. Now this can be unrelated to sexual impurity. This is going to be totally related to things that you do in your life that cause you to draw away from God. Now, let's go back and just continue in this thought of the outward adultery. Remember that this is speaking to the Jews who already had a problem because they said, you heard thou shalt not murder. And yet, he says, I'm telling you, let's go to the heart of the matter. Don't be angry. Don't even have the causes that make you angry. Don't let those be in your heart. Because the heart causes the problems that you have. There's a portion later on in Matthew that says that people were arguing about what they were eating and drinking. Jesus says to him, look, it's not what you put into your body that will defile you. It's not what you eat or drink. What's in your heart, it's what comes out of you, is what will defile you, not what goes into you. Now, there are things that are profitable, things that are unprofitable. Doesn't mean you should eat and drink all things. It means those things in and of themselves won't defile you. It's the heart that defiles you. The heart that you can blow up with God with. the physical just lives out what goes on in the heart. Now, he goes on to say, I'll tell you that if you even look upon a woman to lust after her, what that means is if you go around undressing women, and in this day and age it seems more common, undressing men, even if you're a man.
In this day and age, you don't have to undress them when they already do it themselves. And
we'll get to that because that is one of the things. That if this is the case, if the fact you're not supposed to look upon one lustfully, then are you not just as much in sin if you cause someone to look upon you lustfully? Years ago, we went to a concert. And in that concert, the guy who wrote the book on dress made a comment to the audience. And the young girls, he was a nice looking guy, the young girls thought he was a pretty cool guy. He was talking, he goes, there's some nice looking women out here. You know, and they're coming, and he's just kind of playing it up, and then pretty soon he goes, my only problem is, y'all look like you're fishing, like you're trolling for something. And he goes, the way you look and the way you're dressed, that's your bait. And what you're trying to catch, I guarantee you, you don't want. And what he was saying is most of you are trying to win over some guy with your body and with trying to make him lust after you. And all you're going to do is make him lust after your flesh and after what's on the outside. He's not going to fall in love with who you are, care about your heart, care about your feelings, care anything about you. A few weeks ago in class we had some sermons on marriage. One of them referred to Ephesians. And in Ephesians 5, one of the things it says in Ephesians 5:31, for this cause, now let's go back one. In 5:30 it says, we are all members of his body, of the body of Jesus Christ. It says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and cling or hold on to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And he just said, you see, we're all members of one body. And here he's saying the two shall become one flesh. Now he's going to go on to say, this mystery, this is a great mystery. He says, but I'm actually talking about Jesus Christ and the church. Even though I just said, for this reason a man shall leave his wife, leave his father and mother, and cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let me ask you this quick question. Who are the closest beings to God? Closest entities.
Angels.
Now, some people say we will become angels. Do you think that's true?
No.
Okay. Because angels are a totally different entity. Now, do you know that it talks about in the Bible that it says, when you go to heaven? It used to be a biblical thing. And what it was kind of commanded was, it says, don't let this woman not be taken care of. If this woman is married to a man, and the man dies, you know what's supposed to happen? The brother is supposed to marry the wife and take care of her. Now, also, if a woman is married to this man, and this man dies, she's released and able to marry somebody else. And let's say she marries this man, and he dies, and then she marries this man, and he dies, and finally she marries this man. And the question was, when she goes to heaven, which man will she be married to? When you get to heaven, you're not married to anybody. It says, angels aren't given in marriage or taken marriage. Now, why do you think angels don't worry about marriage?
Because
Why do you think it isn't something that marriage is a thing that God put here? Why do you think angels don't need to participate?
They've never lived here.
Okay. Let's reverse it around and say, because, and what I want you to think about is, what do they already have that we're supposed to learn?
Devotion to God.
They have a intimacy or a closeness with God that they don't need to see the example of marriage. Here he just said, I want you to understand this. He goes, a man is going to walk away from his mom and dad, who he loves, and he's going to cling to his wife, and they're going to become a new entity. And they're going to become a oneness. And he's going to become a new unit, him and his wife. And he goes, I want to tell you, this is the great mystery. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his church. He wants that kind of intimacy with his people. He wants to have it such that his people are so in love with him. He even talks about the fact that true intimacy between a husband and a wife isn't the sexual act whatsoever. It's the sexual act is an outcropping of the love they have, and it's just part of the intimacy. They can be, he talks about, they can be just as intimate just holding each other as having any sexual relationship. And he talks about the fact that that intimacy we're supposed to have with God. Do you know in the Old Testament it says, Adam knew Eve, and they had Abel. Adam knew Eve again, and they had Cain. Do you know that know is the same one where Jesus says, and they never knew me, or to know God? It's that same intimacy. It's that intimacy that God wants with us, to know him. Now, why am I bringing that in here? Because God's talking about our heart. He also talks about the fact that if you can't do the things on the horizontal, you sure can't do them on the vertical. If you can't submit to authority on the horizontal, don't tell me that you're really in your heart submitting to God. Because he goes, I'm going to tell you, if you can't do it into what you can see, you certainly won't do it to what you can't see. Let me flip over here and I'm going to show you this. Really, this is one of the strangest books written. Strangest thing. The way the story's told, the way it's done. Not the Bible, just this book in the Bible. This is a command God gives to one of his prophets. This guy's got a strange name anyway. His name's Hosea. Okay? Not Josiah, but Hosea. Okay? And he goes, listen, Hosea, go and take for yourself a wife of harlotry, an adulteress. Take the town slut and make her your wife. Take the lady everybody slept with. She's everybody's hot mama. Go make her your wife. And have children of adultery with her. For the land constantly commits flagrant adultery, forsaking the Lord. What did you tie together there? Didn't he say, go and get a wife that I know is going to commit adultery, and make her your wife, and then have children from her. And they're not going to be any good either. You know why? He goes, because I'm going to use this as an example that my people constantly commit adultery against me.
And I'm using this as an example to show the nation of Israel what a bunch of adulterous jerks they are. I want this marriage with them. I want to be their God. I want them to be my people. I want to love them. I want them to love me. I want them to know me. And I want to know them. But they have forsaken me and made everything else gods and turned their back on me and loved this world but not me and made love to the things of this world, to their desire for power, to their desire for popularity. Any of the things that this world has to offer, riches, jewelry, possession, you name it. Remember I told you guys before that strange statistic, teenagers, because they struggle figuring out where they fit in, have the highest suicide rate. But second to teenagers are doctors and lawyers. And the reason being is that they give everything they have in life to find what makes them happy. And when they get there and they find they've sacrificed all the good things to gain this and there's nothing there of value, they say, if this is all there is, I'll check it out. You see, they sell out for the gods of this world, for the gods of the flesh, and they marry them and they forsake that Creator, which is the only thing that can really give them a joy. And they chase it. And we do that. And I have done that in the confines of marriage. And paid the price dearly. It's not worth it. You can't do it and not affect others. You can't do it and not hurt yourself for the rest of your life. But I'm trying to tell you, he's not just talking about that in this verse. We'll go back. Let me take you back to Ezekiel. I want you to see again how he's talking about it. He's talking to his people and he's going to destroy a bunch of them. And he goes, however, I shall leave a remnant of you. I'm not going to wipe you all out. I'll leave a remnant. And he goes, those of you who escape will remember me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, and how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts which turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols, and they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed and for all their abominations. Again, he is saying, you people have committed adultery against God. He's going to the heart of the matter here in Matthew. He's not just talking about sexual impurity. He is talking about that. And he is saying, if you lust after somebody, but he's going so much deeper. He's going, if you lust after the things of this world, you've already committed adultery against God. If you lust after another woman, if you're a woman, you lust after another man. I suppose if you're a man or a woman, lusting after other men or women, you're committing fornication and adultery. Basically, adultery is any sex that's outside of marriage. A lot of times, fornication is sex with two unmarried people. But adultery is if one of them is married. And the adultery is like that relationship with God that's broken. There's this marriage, there's this relationship, and you've stolen something out of it, or you yourself stepped out of it. So it assumes that there's this relationship. That's what makes it different than fornication. Okay? But the point being is, he's saying, you don't now. I want to point out very clearly, don't take this and say, oh, So if I already commit the sin in my heart, I've already done it, so I might as well just go ahead and do it in the flesh. No. That's like saying if I hated somebody, I could go ahead and murder them, and I really haven't done anything worse, since hating is guilty of that. No, because one is on the flesh, and will have greater conflict. The other is a secret sin, and you need to confess it, and you need to see it as sin. But it does not justify going ahead and going forward with the act. But I'm telling you, God's looking at the heart. Are you lusting after things that this world has to offer? Including other things. Okay? You brought up a good point. Women will dress in such a way to entice. Does the commercial advertising of the world, does the evil of the world package things in such a way to get you to almost idolize them? To have them? To dress a certain way to be a certain thing? To act a certain way? Or you're not acceptable? I mean, right now, what kind of geek are you if you don't have like an iPhone or want a really fancy phone? I mean, if you're an old guy like me and you've got just an old flip phone that isn't that good, I mean, you're out of it. You know, you gotta have a slider. So, you know, it's like package them, slice. You know, you gotta make them. You know, and of course, they evolved out of that little rock sitting up there in the desert. We know that. But my point being is, they will package anything in a way. Look at TV. I mean, what don't they try to sell with sex? I mean, you're gonna be sexier if you use this toothpaste. Women are gonna so want you. I mean, okay, how many times don't you see, no, please, it's annoying. How many times don't you see people out there, you know, even like the Axe stuff that they sell? Why? Because the women will want you more if you use that. You can get what you want for self-gratification if you'll use this product. Sell yourself for it. Don't just buy it because you like the smell of it. Don't just buy it because it works. Buy it because it draws women. That's why you really want it. So they're trying to play it. I mean, why not just go out and say, you know what, we tested these five deodorants and this one works best. Buy it. It works best. Try these five deodorants. They all work good. See which one you like the smell of and which one works best on you. One's a gel, one's a powder, one's a spray. Which one do you like best? Do them those ones, but that's not how they do it. They play at your lust. And we fall into it in most cases. And that's what moves into this next one. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, or it makes you stumble, pluck it out and throw it. Now, a lot of people have a problem with this. Pluck your eye out or cut your hand off. Is that what he's saying? In your guys' own paraphrase, what do you think he's saying here? Okay?
Is something causing you to want to take that part of your life and throw away, like you don't use that anymore? Like, don't go to that certain place?
Mm-hmm. Like, if you absolutely can't have a computer and not be enticed by pornographic websites, you can't keep yourself from clicking on those things. You can't, if you're married and you can't keep from clicking on the singles available in your area, then you better darn well get rid of the computer. Because if you try and fight that temptation and say, I'm stronger, I don't need, I can't, I'm okay, you're going to fall into it. So, you know, if you can't keep from drinking because you go with your friends and you know they don't have to, but you have an alcohol problem and you can't go with them to a place that serves alcohol and not get tempted, man. You can't go. Don't fuck it up. Cut that part off, just like you said. Can you give me any other example that you would think of? Anything else that might be something like that.
Cool.
Right.
Just like
if there's cool. if you need to get your studies done for school, and you can't, well, I mean, if you want to fail and be a loser in life, don't go. That's a good point. I mean, if that's a goal to be in life, then that gets stay out of school because you don't want to get any better because it might make you a little bit better. You know, but the point being is, on the flip side, if something keeps you from, like right now, you really like WoW. Okay? You don't really have anything big going on at the moment. I mean, you're not super job hunting. You're not doing all these. So, for the time being, because you're kind of just waiting on heading off to the service and finishing graduate, you're okay with doing WoW for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But would WoW and your mild addiction to WoW cause you to, you knew that you had this goal. Let's say it got closer and closer and closer to time to go in the Air Force. And you had some things you had to accomplish and you couldn't get it done because you kept getting drawn back to this because you really wanted to put, you really wanted to advance your diamond. You wanted, at that point in time, you would have to make a choice. And the choice should probably be cut it off. Drop, if you have to, give your computer away for a little bit. Or loan it out. Whatever. You see what I'm saying? I mean, we have to...
account for you.
Something, whatever it took to you to come to a point where you would admit to yourself, this over here is stopping me from attaining something that God wants me, what I know is important in my life, and I can't beat it. Okay, do you remember? And I think it's a great example. Do you remember how? We were talking, and Shane was talking about hunting, and Pastor David might have used it too. But they were talking about hunting. And they said that if you're a good hunter, what you'll do is you'll watch the pattern. You'll go out and you'll guys that are good at hunting deer or hunting turkeys will go out and they'll just watch. Way before hunting season, they'll just watch. They'll go look at the terrain. What's the path they're using? What's the time of day they're moving? What's going on? They'll know them. And the path isn't close enough to where their stand is. So what might they do?
Move their stand.
Huh?
Move their stand.
How about, but this is their stand. That's where it has to be. They can't move it. How about maybe putting some corn out and keep... Pretty soon you're moving their pattern. So they're coming closer to your stand because you're enticing them. So you're laying out things for them to fall into prey. To entice them where you want them so you can take them down. You don't think your enemy, the devil, is a wise hunter? You don't think he knows your weaknesses. You don't think he watches you, observes your pattern, and lays corn out where he can draw you in closer. And all of a sudden entice you into a lair. You go back and you read Proverbs, it commits quite a section to talking about young men and being very careful. Very careful. As your body's start to develop and you have natural reactions to want you to have these sexual desires and how the enemy will lay women in front of you who will try and draw that out and draw you down the wrong path. Now you've got TV here, the internet here, many other things. And you better know that God's saying it starts in your heart. That doesn't mean that when you flip something on and there it is, or you walk by and she's pretty, that you committed a sin. It doesn't mean even if you look back at it, or if you think about it and go, that was a very attractive woman. That's not what he's saying. But if you start to dwell on it, and you start to undress her in your mind, and in your heart, and you start to desire to be with that person, and you start to let it become a part of your thought, now you've committed. You've already started. And the Bible talks about in James where we taught, and it says that all of a sudden your sin has started to conceive and it will give birth. And what it gives birth to is sin. And then the sin will grow, yeah.
What if you're married to a lady and you go to work and you undress her in your mind while you're at work?
Your wife?
Yes, and you're wanting to be with her at that time. Is that...
No.
No?
No, that's your wife. You, I mean, you probably better be careful, you know, what you're doing at work so you don't hurt yourself because your mind's other places. But that's not a terrible thing. Some people talk about like things like they're pornographic or this or that. I'm gonna be real frank with you guys. You know what the Bible says? It says desire the breasts of your wife. Lust after the, you know, go in the Song of Solomon. And it sounds almost triple X rated. But it is saying, look, O husband of mine, man, you got it going on. You're my hunk of burning love. And the woman and the guy looking at his wife going, whoa, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know? And I mean, they are so in love with each other. And it's okay. You're supposed to burn with desire for your wife. Now, what God really would like is not in that sexual way, but would you burn for Him? Would you so fall in love with Him that your desire is for Him? A Christian and I were talking today, Dean, who is such a cool guy, like Dean Yule. I was doing a duck cleaning estimate at his house. And we were talking and we got on the subject and he told me about this marriage enrichment seminar he went to and how fantastic it was. And I just, you know, I told him probably my favorite thing I ever learned was the equilateral triangle marriage thing. And what that is when you think of normal relationships outside of Christ, you think of things being on a line. And here's your relationship on a line. Okay? On the, what have I told you guys? I refer to them as this and this.
Vertical
and horizontal. Jump the horizontal. What does the horizontal represent? The world. Flesh. So on a horizontal, you're on a straight line. Here you are, here she is. You guys get married. What's the ideal situation? You both give up some of who you are and you meet in the middle. You still had to give up some, didn't you? She had to give up some. And you gave it up for her. She gave it up for you. Now, if you start having a little trouble, sometimes you'll feel resentful because you have to give up who you were for them. Because it's not acting the way you want it to. So you get resentful. And some, this guy over here, he's really arrogant. He goes, get your butt all the way over here and act like I want you to. And be like I want you to be over here. One of my favorite sayings is that women marry men hoping they'll change and become different than they are. And they never do. And men, because a woman will look at a man and see his inside and hope it changes and gets better, but it doesn't. It's terrible. And a man will marry a woman looking at her on the outside going, my, hope she never changes, and she always does. Because they just did. Get older, you know, it's just life. Okay, because what they're looking at is, oh, I want you to stay beautiful. I want you to stay alive. I see you now. He married the flesh. She married a hope. Okay? But that's the flesh. That's what they're doing here. If you do the equilateral and you fall in love with God and you change and let Him make change in you to become more like Him, in this triangle, you'll never move further away from her as you go up this line toward God. But you're not giving up anything for her, you're giving it up for Him. And if she's doing the same thing, as you both move up, you get closer to each other, but you don't give up anything of who you are for another human. You give it up for God. And that is an extremely important thing. And so, again, the whole gist of this section is that we be what we're supposed to be for God and for our name, for the godly reason. And we have to understand that it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be in tune with anything that causes us to stray from any marriage relationship, but also that marriage that we have with God. So it's, again, it's a cross. It's the vertical with God, the horizontal with our lives. And so that's the whole point for Matthew 5:27-30. So we'll go ahead and close. And any questions? Yes, sir? Besides the fact that maybe next time you might want to try and make it the whole time and not try to eat your hair. So. Father, I do thank you for this time. And I just ask your blessing upon it. And Lord, I don't fully understand the mystery. But Lord, I know that in the same way that I've blown it in various situations when I've committed adultery, I've also committed adultery against you. And I've let other things become gods to me. And anything can be. This study can be. Wanting it to be heard, wanting it to be popular, wanting it to be needed. Putting it above just getting your word, showing you, revealing you to people. And Lord, I just ask that specifically for myself that you, Lord, keep that pure, keep those thoughts and desires to only want to reveal you. And Lord, I pray for each person in this room, each person that might hear this, to, Lord, that you would help us to focus on being all you want us to be for you. And again, if we get that right, we're not going to blow the other areas. We don't want to let you down. We don't want to let our mates down. We can only do that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we ask you to move and transform us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen.